And we are going to do a good work. We are going to be better husbands, better wives, better children, better fellow workers, better God's people. And at some point, we are going to do a good work. We are going to minister grace and love. Also, we says that as we minister grace and love, we are going to mold our culture. And our children are going to change. Our grandchildren are going to change. Our neighborhood is going to change. Our society is going to change. And at some point, we are going to be a mouthpiece for truth and justice. We are going to speak what the Bible says. And every day, we are going to be wise messengers of the gospel. That is what we have been studying all this month. And Paul now, as he finished his letter, in his letter to the church in Colossae, he gives them an advice for their spiritual journey. The journey is on. We are Christians 24/7, every day. So here this morning, I would like to reflect upon the fact that there is an advice from Paul in the Bible for our spiritual journey. So if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version today. So open your Bibles in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And Paul says this, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we read your word, we pray that may your Holy Spirit speak to us. Father, we are sinners and we don't deserve to come before your presence, but we come because of Jesus. And Father, as we spend this half an hour or so here, we pray that you could help us to receive the message that you have prepared for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. For many Bible commentators, here we have the marks of the faithful church. If they have received the message of Jesus Christ and they have received Jesus in their lives, it will not be good for them not to remain in Christ, as we were reminded during our time of worship. Paul have received the message from Jesus when he was going to Damascus, when he has this lightning coming to him and said, "Paul, Saul, why are you after me?" He received it personally from Jesus on the road to Emmaus. And then Epaphras received it from Paul. And the church in Colossae received it from Epaphras. Remember, the church in Colossae was a good church. Paul gives thanks for their faith. He gives thanks for the love for all God's people. He gives thanks for their hope. But he has been teaching against every other doctrine. False teachers were coming, and he reminded them of something. For me, the climax of this book is Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. When he says about the supremacy of Christ, and he said, "The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, for in him all things were created. Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He's the head of the church. It's not the Pope, it's not a minister, it's nobody, it's Jesus." That is what he is saying here. "And Jesus is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he may have the supremacy." What a wonderful word. Sending to an ordinary church. But he gives an advice for the church and for us. And I invite you today to travel with me Just these two verses, an advice for our spiritual journey. And he starts saying, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Shall we read it together? Sometimes we just read and we just let God. Let's read together. I have read these words many times and sometimes they just go. But today we are gonna explore word by word what is Paul teaching. In the context, Paul is not focusing so much on the means or how they receive Jesus by grace through faith, but rather on the Christ whom they receive. The false teachers, the false theologians, the false people, these people coming into the church in Colossae, they were trying to set aside or minimize Jesus Christ with their clever philosophies. They probably were not openly to deny Jesus Christ, and they start bringing this new liturgy, this worship of angels, and they were confused. If they wanted to avoid the errors, the church in Colossae, of the false teachers, they needed to go walking with the same Christ, the Lord, that they have received. If we here in Bangor want to go on with Christ without yielding to the many false teachers in our day, or without falling into sin, or drifting into spiritual apathy, then we must go on with this exalted, all-sufficient Christ the same way we receive him. And today we are going to study that. So who is this Christ? Paul says the Colossians and we here in the 21st century receive Christ, Jesus as Christ. Christ. The one we receive is Christ. Christ is the Greek, in the Greek is the Messiah. And in Hebrew, is the anointed one. So that's the Christ they have received. He is the one prophesied in these Hebrew scriptures that were written centuries before Jesus. This is the one we sing every Christmas. People sing carols. And sometimes we don't understand. The baby born in Bethlehem is God's what? Anointed king, prophet, and priest. When you receive Jesus, I am a Christian. You are receiving him as Christ, the Messiah. And he is three things here. First of all, he is God's anointed king. One day, he will rule the nations, and one day, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow before his presence in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That is the king that you receive, that I receive when I receive Jesus as the Christ. One day he will throw the devil and all those who follow him into the lake of fire. Revelation 20 verses 10 to 15. For he is God's anointed king. So Paul is saying, Jesus as Christ, he's God's anointed king, he's God's anointed prophet. The prophet in the past, they receive a message from God and they share the message, but Jesus is different. He is not just a prophet, he is the message. That is what we read in John chapter 1, verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was who? God. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory one and only who came from the Father, full of grace in truth. The other prophets received the message, but Jesus is the message. When I received Jesus, I said, he is God's anointed king. He is God's anointed prophet. Not only that, we said that he is God's anointed priest. When we surrender our life to him, Jesus says, I am the only way to heaven. I am the only way. So when I said all religions are the same, I am making him, Jesus, a liar. In the past, if people wanted to be right with God, they will bring the offerings to the temple. But 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man who? Christ Jesus. When I receive Jesus, I declare him my anointed priest. Old Testament times, people wanted to be right with God. But Hebrews 9:22 said, the law requires that nearly everything be cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. The priests offered the blood of animals as sacrifices for their own sins and for the people of Israel. But contrasting the Old Testament priests who offered blood of animals and for their own sins and sins of the people, Christ offered his own blood for the sins of the world. When I said I received Jesus as my Christ, I said that he is God's anointed prophet. Hebrews 10:12 says, but when the priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. You don't need to bring a sacrifice today. Jesus did it for you. You know, we don't have the temple anymore. We have only walls. Just walls. Because Jesus did it for you and for me. This is the Christ the Colossians have received, the anointed king, prophet, and priest. This is the one revealed in the scripture. Therefore, Paul is arguing that they must not turn aside from to another Messiah, to another human philosophy, to another particular liturgy or church. Christ suffered a full and complete salvation for those who believe. As you have received Christ, the Messiah, God's anointed king, God's anointed prophet, God's anointed priest. Now he carries on, says the Colossians, and we receive him as Jesus. Now the name Jesus here is the Messiah's human name. In Matthew 1:21, when the angels said to Mary that you're going to have a baby, she said to Joseph, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is the Greek form of the Hebrew name Joshua. In the meaning of the name Joshua is Yahweh saves. Now it's interesting that the Bible says that he will save his people from their sins. He's not saying that Jesus is coming to teach me to be a nice person, to be a nice person, to be a good people. No. He will save his people from what? From their sins. Salvation is what Jesus brings. Many people say, I don't need religion. Okay, we respect. I don't need Jesus. I am good enough. I have no kill. I have no steal. I am a good father. I am a good man. I am nice to my family, my neighbors. I do charity. Self-righteousness blinds us to our need for Jesus to save us from our sins. And the world that is happening in our society, now they try to declassify sin into something else. So they don't need Jesus. That's a danger. That's the danger. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20 says, indeed there is no one on earth who is righteous, no one who does what is right and never sins. The Pope is a sinner. Billy Graham is a sinner. I am a sinner. You are a sinner. Somebody here is not a sinner? I am. And I need repentance every day. Bow my knees and seek his presence, his mercy. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Shall we read that together? Christ Jesus. That is why Jesus came. Not to make us a very nice society, or not to save sinners. So how can I get closer to God? Well, Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. He himself, in his humanity, bore our sins on the cross. So if I recognize I am a sinner, you recognize I am a sinner, when we recognize and we cry out to Jesus, not to a church, not to a denomination, not to a creed, not because we are good people, to Jesus to save us from God's judgment. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. He's not saying everyone who claims on the name of this prophet, that teacher. No, on the name of whom? Jesus. So Paul is saying the Colossians and we here in the 21st century receive him as whom? As Jesus. And he carries on teaching the church and teaching us. Saying, the Colossians and we have received him as Lord. The Colossians receive Jesus as Christ Jesus, but also as the Lord. Now, the word Lord refers to his deity. In the Old Testament, this is the personal covenant name of God. This name describes his absolute sovereignty as the creator of the universe. Have you noticed in some Bible they say Lord with capital letters? He's Lord. He's the ruler of all. It means that what he commands, we must obey. He's the one who created us. He knows me better than my wife, better than my mom. He knows you. We could look nice to people. He knows you. He knows you. He knows me. He is the Lord. Now, the problem is, nowadays, people don't want to respect authority. They don't respect the police for the abuse. They don't respect church leaders because they abuse in churches. They don't respect politicians. So the word Lord, the Lordship, is a little bit, oh. Listen what the Bible said. And I love these verses from Psalm. Oh, this is beautiful. This is the word of God. Psalm 19, verses 7 to 11, he says, the law of the Lord is perfect. I don't have to change anything here. I don't have to change it. Refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. I have seen this. When my father planted the first Baptist church in the town I was born, he started teaching people how to read and write in that town. And they started coming to church. And they was, I was 5, 6. We left that church when I was 7 because we moved back to his city because he wanted to continue studying in university. But I was watching. Your children are watching. Your grandchildren are watching. How you treat each other. How you treat your ministers. How you treat your leaders. He is watching. There, I was watching. And then my father thought, I saw old woman. I think she will be in her 50s. So. Those days, okay? Those days. And to me, she was old. You understand me, okay? And this woman didn't know how to write, all right? And she learned to write and read, studying the Bible. She was wise. Listening how she deal with people. We can be intelligent going to university, but we are never going to be wise sometimes. The Bible makes us wise. I have seen it. I can give you many examples. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure. When we surrender our lives completely to him, he will cleanse us. He will make us holy, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is a great reward. The Bible is here to warn us against things that are going to damage our life and society. There are so many who think they have received Jesus as their Savior. They claim to be Christian, but they don't have Him as the Lord of their lives. If a person do not want to obey what he asks in his words, is because it's not relevant anymore in our postmodern society, or because it's not politically correct in the 21st century, the reality is that perhaps this person may not have received Him at all. The Lord. The Colossians and we have received Christ, Jesus, the Lord. And let me tell you, Jesus can change our societies. When I go back to that town now, God has blessed them. Because there were many who received Him as Christ, Jesus, the Lord. But now Paul goes on to talk about expressions of our commitment. Let's go to the practical bit. So we are supposed to receive Him as Christ, Jesus the Lord. But now he used some metaphors. And the first metaphor is the word walk. That's the reason why I use the New King James Version. Because the King James Version says, so walk in Him. Walk. Walk. So this metaphor, Paul compares the pure doctrine of the gospel as they have learned it as the sure way, the sure path, the sure road. And if anyone keep it, he or she will be no in danger of error. He advised them, walk on it. Walk on it. Walk in there. Don't move it. The word walk is a present. It's in present that indicates it's an ongoing process. I have to walk today. I have to walk tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. I don't have to walk on the right or the left. It's not impressive. Nowadays, I cannot run as I used to. But if I walk bit by bit, we are going to get there. Step by step toward the goal. Ephesians 4 verse 1 said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. In Ephesians 5 verse 2 said, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us. Bit by bit, we are to walk with Him, step by step to our goal, which is in eternity of Jesus Christ. We are walking Him, knowing our religion, knowing something else. Know what the society says. Somebody gave me an article 2 weeks ago. The British society now have changed, and now we think about differently about many issues, moral issues, about abortion, about other things. And I don't care what they say. I care what Jesus says. And I walk on it. When my father planted that church in Hippie-Hapa, I don't know if it was him, I would stay there. The place that the church met was burned down. And I have to be born in a little hut. Because for many people, they were told in that society that Protestants, as they call us, were from the devil. Their society said that. But I give thanks to the Lord for a humble father, the one I have. He stay. And now the gospel have increased. Our society could say anything they want. We are to walk. And that's what Paul is saying. Walk. Now the second expression is rooted. And the picture is of a tree. It's a tree. And when we walk in Christ, look at, and uses the word rooted. This word is a participle in the perfect tense, indicating a past action, and we continue results. You were and are still rooted in Him. It pictures a tree firmly rooted so that it gets the water and nutrients from the soil to grow and be healthy. The roots are hidden from view, but they are absolutely essential. This metaphor is taken from trees, as for this tree stands. The roots are strong. Wind comes, you know, the storm comes, and the tree will stand. The psalmist says that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. That is the promise. But we are to be rooted, not in what philosophy says, not in what theologian says, not what the culture says. Jesus says. On the other hand, if anyone has not fixed his or her roots in Christ, this person will be easily carried with every wind of doctrine, as a tree without support, as a root is blown down at the first gust. I don't want to go to church anymore. My faith, I don't know. Matthew says, in the last day, many will be offended, and their faith will not be there. They have not been rooted. How are our spiritual roots? The next metaphor, it says, you are being built up in him. Building under construction. Have you seen this build? And I used this picture last week, and I asked a professional, have somebody who knows about this building. When I was in London the last few weeks, I used to go to to central London, and many buildings were under construction. And sometimes you go right there and say, are they working here? You know. And you go the next week, and then you go the next month, and what did they do here last week? And you are thinking, you have that picture that some builders, they have tea break every hour. You know. And I say, are they broken here? But somebody told me, an expert, he said, I asked him, how long does it take to plant the foundations? And it's fair to say that it will be sometimes 50% of the work. Is that all right? According to the building. Perhaps if it's taller, it's going to be more. You are a work in progress. The church in Colossae is a work in progress. I am is an ongoing process. And Paul says, you are being built up in him. My behavior have to change. The Lord will change us gradually. We learn to trust and obey on little daily matters. We judge. I am a grumbling person. My son is here in the my temper used to go like that. How many hours I've been driving the last 3 days or 4 days? So Brian calculated I have been driving about 20 hours in the last 3 days. I've done okay. I am a work in progress. You are a work in progress. You are a work in progress. We are sinners. I'm not here to judge you. You are not here to judge me or somebody else. But Paul says, you are being built up in him. Then he used another word, established in the faith. Now the word established is a legal term, very quickly, to confirm, guarantee, to make irrevocable. Now, what happened is Christians go through tough times. How many of you go sometimes through tough times in your life? You know, we go through tough times sometimes, times of affliction. Saying unless they are established in Christ, they will be vulnerable to the devil's stumbling blocks. Somebody, the devil will come say whatever you want to hear. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by words, so no one can boast. When I surrender my life to Jesus, when I really surrender my life to Jesus, he will change me. The Friday now is very different to the Friday 10 years ago. Debts have to be different from 5 years ago. John, Magnus. But you know what we know? That we have been established. because I have surrendered my life. It's not about what I do, it's what he did for me. So Paul finished giving a picture, a wonderful picture, overflowing rivers of gratitude. And this is the last picture he uses. The final phrase in the NIV says, overflowing with thankfulness, uses the Greek, a favorite group. That's what they say, the one who study, you know, the scripture said, this is a favorite word Paul uses more than 26 times and is often translated as abound in the King James Version. And the picture, if it was a river of overflowing its banks, there is so much water to stay in the normal flow, so the river floods over the surrounding land. And the picture how our gratitude to God should be for what he has done for us. Our heart should be filled with thanksgiving for our salvation, for the hope of eternal lives in him. We moan. We moan about the weather. We moan about the politicians. We moan about everything. I include myself. Our study is about being fruitful on the front line. People are watching us. You are here to give thanks to the Lord. That's why we are here, isn't it? We have this picture of coming. Thank you, Lord. We are struggling. Thank you, Lord. You remember the lady I was talking about? Her husband, this is in Hippie Hapa, was a poor man who learned to read and write. And he, his living was, you know, this was what he used to support his seven children. This big piece of ice, you know, you picture that? Some flavor in a small trolley, and he will sell that. Now, in countryside, in Ecuador, Sunday is the best day to do business those days. All the people will come from the mountains and to do. So Sunday morning was the best time to make money. I was watching. He was one of the first to come to the church on Sunday morning. Not complaining. He was the first to offer my dad, I was watching, something needed, Pastor, the church. Seven children. You can say, what this man is going to do in life? The whole seven children are professionals. Years later, he was going on holiday, first class. He was thankful. He doesn't complain. He just served the Lord. And this man inspires me. He was not a preacher. He was not a teacher. He was a man, in my opinion, that showed the distinguishing mark of a true church is an abounding and overflowing gratitude. He was thankful that he was going to heaven. I would hear him singing, saying, I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be with the Lord. He didn't care about business. He was is not irresponsible. He said, thanksgiving is the end of all human conduct, whether observed in words or works. I saw it both. My friends, as I conclude today, where are you this morning? Where am I? The journey is on. We have an advice for our spiritual journey. The Apostle Paul says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Walk in him. rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Regardless, serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. But we need to receive him as the Christ, God's anointed king, God's anointed prophet, God's anointed priest. We have to receive him as Jesus, you Savior, my Savior, as the Lord. What he says, we trust and obey. But we are to be, to walk with him, to be rooted in him, and to be faithful and give thanks all the time. Let's spend a moment in silence. Maybe you are hearing this message and you've never been to church. And you are struggling with your sexuality. You are struggling with your life. You are struggling with your faith. You are struggling with everything. The Lord Jesus can change you, my friend. He has wonderful things for your life. But you need to receive him as Christ Jesus the Lord. Father, I pray for that person this morning, that he or she will be able to surrender his or her life completely to you, ignoring the circumstances. And I pray that that person, we will walk in your ways, will be rooted in you, will allow you to build him or her up, and will be thankful for all what you have done. Father, I pray for us as a church. Help us to receive you as Christ Jesus the Lord. Help us, Penrod, back this church to walk in you, not in any other thing, to be rooted and built up in you and established in the faith, abounding with thanksgiving for your glory. Amen.